hands for Jesus. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good to see you guys. Good to see you guys. Hey, happy Father's Day to all the dads. Can we just clap our hands for all the dads at church today? All the granddads, all the soon-to-be dads, all the spiritual fathers. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. God bless you and welcome. My name's Travis. I am one of the pastors that serves on the leadership team. I'm also a dad, so it's a great day for me. I want to say hello and shout out to my dad, Mr. Wayne Gibson, 93 years old, sitting right over there. God bless you, Dad. Good to see you. My father-in-law, Carlos Arredondo, over there. My brother-in-law, who is a father's heart to my kids. So God bless you to everybody. It's going to be a good day. Okay, I don't have a traditional Father's Day message today because we've been marching through the book of Mark, and I'm going to kick off Mark chapter 4. I want to stay in that rhythm, and you gave us feedback from our survey over the last few weeks that you've been enjoying that. So I'm going to keep going that direction, but to kind of what's your appetite, dads? I got some dad jokes I brought to church today. Is that okay? I didn't write these, okay? I didn't write these. I just brought them. Here we go. Number one. Why didn't the sun go to college? It already had a million degrees. I'm starting here, guys. I'm starting here. I didn't write these jokes, okay? I don't need you to laugh because I didn't. This is not my joke. Here we go. Thank you in the front. My father used to be afraid of hurdles, but he got over it. It's getting better. It's getting better. Why can't you borrow money from elves? They're always a little short. That's the appropriate laughter for dad jokes, I think. It's just kind of like, ha, 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 ha. How do trains eat? Choo-choo. I thought that was better than your response. I thought it was pretty good. Choo-choo is good. Why don't leopards play hide and go seek? They're always spotted. Okay, you want one more? I'll give you one more. Okay, last one, I promise. I promise. Here we go. Why do dads take an extra pair of socks when they go golfing? In case they get a hole in one. Yeah, bang, bang, got you. That was a good one. Man, I like that last one. Okay. Don't worry, the message is better than the dad jokes, I promise. But before we get into the word, I'm gonna open our service in prayer. I'm gonna invite my daughter to come out. This is Adnaya. Adnaya is 10 years old. She's gonna pray for us. Okay, sweet girl, go for it. Why don't you all bow your heads and pray with us.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful time together, and I thank you for the amazing leaders and pastors we have leading us in church today. I pray for all the dads that they would all have the best Father's Day and feel loved and blessed. And in your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Good job. Love you. Thank you, sweetie. Okay, we have been going through the book of Mark. It is one of the four gospel accounts. It's the gospel according to Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Three of them are the same, called the synoptic gospels. We just wrapped up chapters 1, 2, and 3 over the last couple months. So today, I'm kicking off chapter 4, and I wanna set it up for you. The ministry of Jesus is exploding. He has a lot of momentum. Business is good spiritually for our Lord and Savior. People have come from everywhere, near and far, to hear and see this man, Jesus. He's a miracle worker. He's a healer. He speaks like a prophet. He speaks as someone that has authority, and they've come all around, but it's getting difficult. So many people have crowded him. Just get a look to hear him, to touch him. It's getting hard for Jesus to teach. And in chapter 2, he tells his disciples, get a boat just in case. I need a getaway boat just in the case we got to get out of here. But in chapter 4, he's getting in the boat. The crowds have been pressing. He jumps in the boat, pushes off from shore so that way he can teach and they can all hear him the right way and he can have some separation. But he does something different than what he's been doing so far. There's been signs, there's been wonders, there's been interaction with spiritual leaders, but in Mark chapter 4, he begins teaching in parables. Everybody say parables. Parables. Here, what's a parable? A parable is a small story with a big meaning. It's a small story with a big spiritual meaning. I'll never forget the moment someone told me, I go, what's a parable? That doesn't make sense. It's kind of like a riddle. Well, it's a small, bite-sized story that carries a big spiritual meaning. There are 39 parables in the New Testament. 39 parables in the New Testament, you have to really lean in and pay attention and kind of go, what is he saying? What is Jesus teaching in these? And you're gonna find out today that he teaches this parable, then has to unpack it with his disciples because not everybody understands, not even them. This story is the parable of the sower. Or another way of saying it, it's the parable of the farmer. The parable of the farmer, and he has seeds, and he's throwing seeds, and he's casting them on different types of ground and different types of soil. But because it's going on different types of ground conditions, what's produced are different types of fruits, different types of production because it's on different types of soils. As it turns out, look up here, campuses, you and I are the soil, the different conditions that receive the seed. What's the seed? It's God's word. It's God's love. It's God's message. And this is where we pick up in Mark chapter 4. If you got your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 4? We're going to put it up on the screen for you also. We'll be in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 20 in the NIV translation. And this is what our story says. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, there's our word, and his teaching said, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. Somebody say good soil. Good soil. It came up, it grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times what was invested. And you go down to verse 9. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. How many came to church today wanting to hear a word from the Lord? How many dads came to church saying, I want to hear from God today? When Jesus says, man, if you got ears to hear, then hear. Let that person hear what I'm about to say. When he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? I want you to underline that in your Bible and remember that phrase. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away and the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, though, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept the word, and produce a crop from that word, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Isn't God's word good this morning? Can we just thank God for his word? His word is good. His word is faithful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's piercing hearts today. This is an amazing parable for a few reasons. Number one, it is the very first parable that we ever hear recorded in the New Testament. There's 39 of these little short parable stories, little stories with a big meaning, and this is the very first one. It's in three of the gospel accounts. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not in John. Three are the same. And many scholars call our little story here, this very first parable in Mark chapter 4, they call it the parable of all parables. The story that unlocks all the other stories. I don't think it's an accident that the very first parable recorded for us is about hearing God's word. If you have ears to hear, then let them hear. Notice how many times Jesus mentions the theme of hearing. He says, listen, in verse 3, listen. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear, in verse 9. Then he says, consider carefully what you hear, later in verse 24. I remember years ago, the very first and biggest campaign that the cell phone company Verizon did as their commercial promo. I don't know if you remember it like I remember it, but there was this guy, little jacket and little Docker slack pants or whatever. I guess he'd be in Lululemon now. But he was walking around with his glasses and his jacket, and he had a cell phone, and he would be in these kind of hard to hear, fine places, and he would go, "Can you hear me now?" You remember that commercial? Did you know that thing was like number one for 9 years? Had us going around, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, babe? Can you hear me now?" What was the commercial saying? It was saying, listen, if you have Verizon, no matter where you are, because you have it, you can hear anything you want. Here's what Jesus is saying. When you're tapped into the voice of heaven, you can hear everything that you need. Everything you want, everything you need, everything you'll desire, everything that God wants to give you. If you're tapped in, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, listen. If you're tapped into the voice of heaven, you'll hear everything you need. And so before Jesus teaches about the kingdom, and man, the kingdom is awesome. But before Jesus teaches on forgiveness, and forgiveness is awesome. And before he teaches on judgment and repentance and stewardship, he first addresses something even more foundational with his very first parable. It's the condition of our heart, the soil, and our ability to hear and receive God's word. Because how we listen internally determines what we become externally. How you listen with your heart and your mind and your spirit will determine what you become externally. In fact, when Jesus explains the parable, he asks in verse 13, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" It's as if Jesus is saying, listen, I got a lot I want to unpack over these next 3 years. I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to be sharing. I'm going to be doing, I'm going to spit in my hands in dirt and heal a guy. You're not going to get any of this stuff. You're not going to know any of these parables if you don't listen and first receive what I have to say in this first word. You got to get it. 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 I got a lot to talk about today. You're not going to be able to receive my love if you don't first get this word. And so the parable has seeds. The parable has farmers, but it's not about agriculture. It's about listening. It's about listening. If you take notes, I want you to write this down. This is my sermon in a sentence right here. God is always speaking. We're just not always listening. God is always speaking. Did you know that? I never hear from God. You're not always listening. God's always speaking. Well, he speaks to them, but not me. No, you're not listening. God is always speaking, but the condition of our hearts determine how we hear and ultimately how you hear, receive, and then produce the things that God wants to produce in and through your life. It's not that he doesn't speak to you or that he only speaks to them. It's that we're not listening. In Mark 4, Jesus highlights four types of heart conditions. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4. They're up on the screen for you there. Number one, he says the path. This is the heart that's closed. You just reject God. The second soil condition of a heart, he says, are like the rocks. These are the hearts that are shallow. There's no depth to them. They receive the word, but it's shallow. They fall away quickly. The thorns is the third condition of our hearts. That type of soil, their hearts are distracted. They get twisted by all the things of the world. And the fourth, he says, is actually good soil. They receive the word. They receive all that God has. And so here's the million-dollar question this morning. Is your heart in the right condition to receive all that God has for you and wants to speak to you? I mean, think about it on a scale of 1 to 10. And you don't got to be like, yell out your number. But on a scale of 1 to 10, 1's like, I don't ever hear from the Lord. I don't know what he says. I don't know what he sounds like. 10 being, I hear from God all the time, every day. I hear him, I receive him, I'm good soil. So the million-dollar question is your heart in a posture or position to receive what he has to say to you? Are you 1 or are you 10? Praise God for my little man right here in front. Come on, come on, this is clap for him. Clap for my man right here. Hey, he's responding. I appreciate you, man. What's your name? Tyler, good job, Tyler. Tyler's a 10. 10 for Tyler, come on, somebody. Let's go. He said, I'm 10. 10. Tyler, I wish I was always a 10. Some days I'm a 5. I'm going to be honest with you. As a pastor, as a follower of Jesus, sometimes I'm like, I just can't pull it together. But I'm so glad you're a 10. You inspire me today. I hope that inspires you too. You know, where am I at? Am I at 1? Am I at 5? Am I at 6? Am I at 10? Can I receive from the Lord today? I don't want to be the path or the rocks, the thorns. I want to be good soil, but too many people, believers and non believers are missing out on God's voice. You ever been in a raffle before, but you weren't in the room when they called your number? Bang! Must be present to win, and here you come. Ha ha, I was just outside, sorry. We called your number for the prize, for the trip, but you weren't here to hear the word, so we skipped you. What's at stake that God wants to speak into your life that you're missing on because you haven't received it in your heart? What breakthrough does he have for you? What answer or solution does he have to your business or your marriage or your finances that he's waiting? He's waiting to dispatch angel armies on your behalf. He's waiting to come and bring a word so big that you couldn't contain it, but you're over here with my heart all wrapped up like the path and I'm not good soil. So what's the condition of your heart? I want to be like Tyler. I want to be 10. Tyler, God's always speaking, but we're not always listening. So how do we hear him? Here's the first thing. Number one, I want to open my heart. Number one, I got to open my heart. Because closed hearts can't receive God's word. Closed hearts can't receive God's word. Dads, is your heart open today? Fathers, are your hearts open today to receive all that God wants to speak to you? In our story in verse 15, it says, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And so Chula Vista, Oahu, this farmer is taking the seed and he's throwing it, but it's hitting the driveway of your heart. It's just bouncing off. There's nothing there. It doesn't penetrate. And Satan comes and he just begins to snatch it up. God's been trying to speak to you, but the door of your heart is closed shut. You don't want to hear the love of God. You don't want to hear about the wisdom of the Lord. You don't want to hear the prophetic word someone came to speak to you. You can't receive the encouragement from your spouse. Why? Because your heart is hard. It's closed. It's not open. You don't want to hear about how you're living in sin. I don't want to be called out to repentance. I'm closed up. I was flying recently with my wife. We were coming back from Alabama. We stopped in a couple places. And when you're flying for long enough, the flight attendants come out and they give you those little free headphones. Anybody got those before, little free ones? Right? You get there and you realize, I don't have my headphones. Oh, no, it's a long flight. And they come around, they give you these little free ones. They're horrible, by the way. Praise God. Praise God. But they're rough. Can I get a testimony from somebody that understands the pain of the free headphones? Okay. I don't know if we got a flight attendant at church today, but we got to do something. We got to brainstorm. Because I'll put them in if I have to, but you can always hear everything. You can hear, I know exactly, pretzels, please. Thank you. I'm listening to the movie, but I'll take pretzels. But I bring my AirPods. I don't have the new ones. I have the old school ones. They're super faithful. I'll put them in, and I can hear mostly what I'm watching or what I'm listening to. But I can still, what'd you say? I'll take an orange juice. I'll have water. So I can kind of hear a little bit, and then it pauses the movie, and I can hear what the pilot wants to say. But then there's this other group. You guys are so cocky and arrogant. You're the ones that have the noise-canceling headphones. Where are you guys at? Those big old, look at you. We can't afford them like you can. But you guys are always trying to flex on us. You want to try them? No, I don't want to try them. I got my AirPods. No, put them on. They're awesome. You can't hear anything. I know. You put those noise-canceling headphones on, and you're just over there just rocking like we can. You can't hear a thing she's saying. You want pretzels? I can't hear you. I don't want orange juice, just me and my headphones. You are just locked out to the world. You shut it down. What's the application? Some of us have shut down the voice of the Lord. Your heart looks like those headphones. I've canceled out the noise. I've canceled out their noise and their encouragement and the word from the Lord. I can't hear anything because I'm just locked in and closed in to my arrogance, my pride. I know better. I don't want to hear it. I was wounded. I was rejected. But here's what the writer in Hebrews says in Hebrews 3, verse 15. It says, remember what it says. Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. It says today. I can receive that word today. In fact, God's word is two things. It's both descriptive and prescriptive. Okay, all my Bible nerds can geek out. Prescriptive and descriptive. Prescriptive, prescribing you to do these things. Descriptive, describing what happened, not necessarily what you do. So, there's slavery and there's killing. Okay, describing what happened. therefore we need Jesus. Prescriptive, do what it says. This is a prescriptive type of verse. Remember what it says today. Someone say today. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't do what you've always done. Don't do what the people of God did back then. Don't harden your heart. Don't shut the door on Jesus. Here's what an open heart sounds like. Lord, what are you trying to show me as a father? What do you want me to do as a new dad? How do you want me to prepare for my family? Jesus, reveal to me where I'm wrong in my marriage. Uh-oh. That's what an open heart sounds like. It doesn't make sense, Lord, but I trust you. Holy Spirit, help me. I surrender. I surrender. I have an open heart. And so the open heart refuses to be prideful, refuses to be offended, refuses to be jealous, and chooses humility so I can receive the love of God and operate in his humility. God is always speaking, but a closed heart isn't listening. So what do we got to do? I got to open my heart. That's number one. I want to hear him. What are you going to do? I'm going to open my heart. Here's number two. I'm going to deepen my roots. Number two, I'm going to deepen your roots, because a shallow heart doesn't remain in God's word. Shallow hearts, they get in like hopscotch, but they get out like hopscotch. They don't remain in God's word. In the story, verse 16, Jesus says, others like seeds sown on rocky places. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Oh, it's so good. Oh, God loves me. It's amazing. Here I come. I'm coming. I'm running to you, Jesus. But something happens. They have no root, so they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So the rocky soil represents the shallow heart. These people receive God's word with excitement, but they don't have any roots. And so the issue isn't enthusiasm. The issue is endurance. The issue is spiritual grit. Grit, that means when hard things happen, I'm not wavering. When the decision that I was hoping for doesn't go my way, I don't just throw up my hands and say, oh, God's not real, God doesn't love me. No, 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 I have a staying power when hard times come, when disappointment comes, when the opposition comes. These people that are the shallow-hearted people that fall on the rocky soil, they fall away, they drift away. The seed grew quickly, but it never grew deeply. The seed grows quick, but it doesn't grow deep. I was driving up the street the other day. I saw one of the neighbor dads, and he was on his hands and knees in his driveway. And I go, what is this guy doing? I know this guy. What's happening? The closer I got, I noticed that he was in his yard, but he has one of those yards that we have a lot here in San Diego campuses. Maybe you know Oahu. I don't know if you know anything about this, but we have a lot of drought. What's the right term? Drought resistant. Thank you very much. Drought. See, Hawaii, it's probably raining right now. It's just like heavenly sunshine and rainbow. It's just beautiful. And I picture it now. There's a pineapple over here, and it's just awesome. It's awesome. Okay. We got a lot of rocks and driveways in San Diego. Drought resistant. And so my neighbor is there in his rocks. And I'm like, what is he doing? And he was picking weeds. He's picking weeds. But he didn't have any tools. He didn't have a shovel. He didn't have a hammer. He didn't have anything. They were like, bop, 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 bop. He didn't need that. He just needed his hands. Why? Well, in these hardscapes, not landscapes where there's grass, but hardscapes, before you put down the rocks, you put down something called a weed barrier. You tracking with me so far? Yeah. Anybody got a weed barrier? Where they got your DG, your decomposed granite, hardscape, and rocks. And so he's in there picking up the weed. They're just... because he's got the weed barrier. What does that mean? That means when something tries to grow, it can grow a little bit, but because of the weed barrier, it doesn't grow roots, and so when the man comes, he can just pick it right off. This is the story of the rocky soil. The rocky soil allows the weeds to grow, but you can quickly take it out. Why? Because they have no roots. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, so then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted, built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. How many know Sunday is awesome, but it's not enough? Okay, maybe you didn't know that. Imagine if you're intermittent fasting and you decided, I'm going to eat one time a day and it's going to be on Sunday. Man, that meal better be good. And you went the rest of the week and you decided not to eat, it wouldn't be enough, would it? I don't care how much you think you're intermittent fasting, at that point you're just, I'm starving. You can't put so much weight on one day. This can't be the only time you read God's word. You got to go deep. You got to deepen the roots. I got to get God's word on Sunday. I need Sunday inspiration, but I need Monday application. I need discipleship. I need prayer. I need men's group. I need women's group. I need young adult connection. I need serving. I need generosity. I need all of those things. So if you're coming on Sunday and going, didn't really meet my needs, wasn't the meal I was hoping for, you better get breakfast on Tuesday and dinner on Thursday and a big fat meal on Friday, because you need more of Jesus than just Sunday. Sunday's awesome, but you got to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of God. Deep roots produce the lasting fruit, but if I'm not rooted, the moment that things get hard, I stop listening to God and Satan snatches me up. The moment that you apply for the job and you've been praying and fasting for. And you apply and God spoke, but you didn't get the job. God's not real. You're the rocky soil. And I'm not trying to just, you know, get you, but I'm trying to get you in the right way. To say, where's your heart? And Tyler's a 10. I want to be like him. But some days I got to go, God, first I'm going to open my heart. Number two, I got to deepen and deepen my roots, because God is always speaking, but a shallow heart doesn't stick around long enough to recognize the voice of God. I want to be listening. Deepen your roots. Here's number three. Number three, remove the distractions. Remove the distractions. You want to hear the Lord? Remove the distractions, because competing voices can crowd out God's voice. What's competing for your attention? You already know. The moment I said it, you're like, that thing right there. Mark 4, verse 18 in our story, Jesus says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things, they come in and they choke the word, making it unfruitful. And so the thorny soil doesn't reject God's word. The thorny soil actually receives God's word, but the seed, God's word, has too much competition. There's too many things competing for it, competing for your heart, competing for your attention. And Jesus says the word gets choked, the spirit gets choked, the wisdom gets choked out by what? All the worry, all the things of work, my desire to be successful. He calls it the deceitfulness of wealth. Is wealth bad? No. Make all the money you can and then give to Jesus. Come on, somebody. But the deceitfulness, the lie that it's going to give you something that God can't give you. I'm distracted. And then the desire for all these other things. Did you notice none of those things in themselves are bad things? They're just not God things. They're not bad. They're just not God. I wrote this down. When lesser voices become louder than God's voice, your spiritual growth is suffocated. When lesser voices become louder than God's voice, spiritual growth becomes suffocated. We got to remove the distractions. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. You got stuff that's hindering you and hindering God's voice. When I message prep and I'm sermon prepping, one of the worst distractions for me is my phone. Come on, dads, this week was rough. You got NASCAR in San Diego. NASCAR. You got U.S. Open golf. Come on, I'm trying to find out what Rory's doing today. You got UFC 250 just wrapped up. Conor McGregor's fighting in 2 weeks. I'm all freaked out. I want to know what's going on in the sports world. You got World Cup soccer, USA 2-0. Come on, somebody. Won't he do it? Mexico? Come on, Chula Vista was crazy. Chula Vista was crazy this last week. It's wild. I mean, my phone just like, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? It's Father's Day, grilling. Weather's great. And my phone, just what are people doing? Text messages, phone calls. None of those are bad. It's not God. They're distractions. What's the application? Some of us have good things that just aren't God things, but they're hindering you from hearing from God. They got you all tied up. You're like the thorny soil. I receive God's word, but I got so much here and there and there and there, and it just falls away from the Lord. The pursuit of success crowds out dependence on God. Entertainment competes with stillness and reflection and worship. Busyness crowds out intimacy. What's busy? Buried under Satan's yoke. I'm busy. I wrote this down. Sometimes the enemy doesn't need to destroy your faith. He only needs to distract it. He doesn't even keep your Jesus. You want some Jesus? Keep your Jesus. I'm just going to keep you distracted. I'm going to keep you busy, buried under my yoke, buried under the yoke of Satan. I'm just going to be distracted and busy. Why? Because there's a breakthrough, there's a miracle, that there's a prophetic word, that there's something that's on its way, but I can't hear from God. I have God, I love, but I'm just wrapped up in all these things. What's the condition of your heart? Well, number one, if I want to hear, I got to open it up. Number two, I got to deepen my roots. Number three, I got to remove distractions. Number four, last one here, then we'll wrap up. Number four, I'm going to respond in obedience. Respond in obedience. What's that mean? I got to demonstrate that you believe that God actually speaks to you. Isn't that good? If I'm going to respond, that's how I demonstrate. That's how I prove that I actually believe that God is speaking and that God speaks to me. The proof that you've heard God's voice today isn't that you took notes. It'll be that you took steps. Now that you took notes, take the notes. I love notes. I'm a note taker. I got lots of notes. Look at that. I got lots of notes. Colors, the whole thing. Bam, bam. Red's a scripture. Green's my stories. Yellow, my big points. I got lots of notes. But the proof that you heard from the Lord won't be that you took notes. It'll be that you took steps. So what are you going to do when you hear the voice of the Lord? Sound like a WWE wrestler. What you going to do, brother? When you hear from the Lord. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Mark 4:20. Others like seeds sown on good soil. Come on, good soil. They hear the word. They accept the word. And they produce a crop some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. God is not looking for perfect soil. He's looking for responsive soil. Respond with obedience. Here's the best way I can wrap it up for us today. Jesus gets in a boat. One, he wants to pull away. He says, guys, I want you to have it ready in case I gotta take off and get away. And so he pulls the boat out. By the way, you see the Mexico colors? We're just all up in the spirit today. Come on, man. He gets in the boat, pushes away from the shore. In the beginning, it's to create distance because they're all up on him. Just give me some space. Let me do my thing. But here's what we know that's so special, so special. Pushes away from the shore, and they're all lined up there on the beach. What we know for sure is that water is a natural amplifier. There's an echo on the water. It makes things louder. It's an echo and a clap. It's loud. But then archaeologists have found out that the lake, which is really the Sea of Galilee, has an acoustic type of amphitheater feeling. And so he lines them all up like you are, all of your campuses right now, lined up. Jesus pushes away from the shore in his boat. And he goes, listen, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you don't get this, you're going to miss it. Receive my word. And what happens, he speaks to thousands of people. It's the same word. But not everybody responds. God is always speaking. We're just not always listening. So what type of heart are you bringing to the Lord today so that you can hear from heaven? Are you the path? Are you the rocky soil? Are you like the thorns that get choked out but all the distractions? Are you saying, no, Lord, I want to be good soil today. I want to receive from you. Here's what we know about soil. In the Bible, go back those times and farming times. I got one more minute, then we're gonna sing and we'll be dismissed. Hold on, campuses. They would put a seed into the ground, and on average, they would get a return on their investment some 5 to 10 times. But Jesus says, watch this, in Mark 4:20, other seeds sown on good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, they produce a crop, some 30, Some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Life with Jesus is miraculous. He says, you give me your life, you're not getting 5 to 10 return. I'm giving you 30, I'm giving you 60, I'm giving you 100-fold. I got a blessing so great. I got a word for your life. I got a miracle for your baby. I got provision for you that you couldn't even dream of. You didn't have that idea, but I have the idea. So what is the condition of your heart? Lord, I want to be the good soil today. He and she, dads and moms and children and kids and Tyler, who has ears to hear today, let them hear. Let's pray.